Yo, yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy Chris coming at you with another episode to the Beautiful Struggle Podcast. And if this is your first time tuning into the Beautiful Struggle Podcast, welcome to the family. Welcome to the community. We drop a new episode every single Monday of the week. And this podcast is a personal development and business podcast. So if that sounds like something that's interesting to you, please feel free to subscribe, like, and share this episode with one other person that needs to hear this podcast. All right, let's get into today's episode. All right, welcome to another episode to the Beautiful Struggle Podcast. What's going on, Beautiful Struggle family? We got another guest on the podcast today, and a little bit about our guest for today. She is an artist. We haven't had an artist on the podcast in a very long time, and specifically, she is a graphic designer and visual artist. She got a lot of dope and amazing work. And in fact, my wife has been following her a lot longer than I have. And she was like, yo, you got to check out this artist. You got to check out her work. You got to get her on the podcast. I'm like, all right, let me get her on. So we're here now. Shout out to my wife. She's collaborated with some very major brands and companies out there, such as HomeGood, Disney, the US Open, and some other companies that we're going to get into as well. Welcome to the Beautiful Struggle Podcast, Stormy Nesbitt. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for that amazing introduction and having me. I'm excited to kind of meet your audience and, you know, have a good conversation with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny because before we get into your story and your background and the art and whatnot, it's funny because I had just happened to click on your Instagram story. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, and you posted that you signed up for a marathon. So now, talk to me now. He says, stop. I'm curious, like, is this something that you usually do? Or is this...
Absolutely not. I'm chaotic. That's just what it is. I went to a workout yesterday and got a little crazy, got a little like, oh, I could do this. Like, it's nothing. Like, y'all got me running distance, so it's nothing. And I was like, you know, let me do it. Let me challenge myself. But like, I contemplate going to work out every day because I don't want to run.
Right.
But I was a track athlete prior to in college and trained post collegiate as well. And I was a sprinter. And it's so funny. I actually called my coach yesterday and I was like, they got me running these long distances, giving 600, 800 meter runner. And she was like, yeah, kinda. And I'm like, I don't want to run that long. Like, I want to run for 30 seconds. I'll go full out. I'll give you all I got. But when you got me on the treadmill for 5-10 minutes, I'm like, bro, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah,
it's an internal battle. But yeah, I'm silly. We'll see if I make it.
No, that's amazing. That's funny because I hesitated to ask you this question because I was like, she might inspire me to run a marathon. Because the thing about me is I actually hate running as well. So growing up, I played basketball and kind of like sprinting and track and whatnot. I just do sprints. I don't do long distance running. We just run it up and down the court. Sprints, movements, and whatnot. But when it came to conditioning and doing like long distance running, I was like terrible at long distance running for whatever reason, right? So I've always had this thing in me like, I need to overcome my weakness and my fears, and I just need to go ahead and run a marathon and train for it. So that's super interesting that you actually ran track. It should be a good challenge for you though, for sure.
It's going to be the death of me, honestly, but, you know, I'm here for anything that gets me out of my comfort zone, right? You know, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe I'll train for it and be like, nah, it's not what's happening, but I'm going to do it. It's a challenge. I want to, you know, get to it and face it and be like, okay, because when I'm done, I'll never do it again.
You know, I heard you on that. Yeah.
Just say I did it. So you should sign up. I encourage you to sign up for one by the end of this recording.
I think I'm going to have to. I'm a man of my words. If I say I'm going to do it, then I'm going to actually sign up. Oh, man. All right. but is that, you said something interesting. You said you're putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. Is that kind of the mindset that you've always had? Where did that mindset come from?
I would say say as I've matured, it's definitely been the mindset that I've had. I've seen the most growth in who I was as a designer, a person, when I've been in an uncomfortable situation or something that wasn't easy for me. I definitely didn't like that as a, you know, when I was like starting out in college or younger, like uncomfortable. No, everything should be easy for me.
Right, right.
You know? But I would say now in having mentors and leaders above me who have challenged me, like when I think I've put something forward that's been like my best work yet, and they're like, spend a little more time on it. I'm looking at them like, how you gonna tell me? Like, I already know I got this, you know? And they've been like, no, like, but they know that putting pressure on me or making me really go back and be like, okay, what are they not seeing that I'm seeing? And by the end of it, I have come out on top and I've presented something that's been like, wow, I'm glad that I didn't really settle in that moment. So I would say like, that's been something that I've learned kind of about myself and kind of how I work is that definitely not being a little uncomfortable is, it has made me, you know, the outcome far greater than if I just kind of stuck with what I, you know, believed in that moment.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. There's no growth in you being comfortable, right? You're not being stretched. You're not being stressed out in a way where it's making you think and making you reach for new resources. I live by that all the time. Like anything that I try to do, I'm like, I want to be as uncomfortable as possible so I can get used to that feeling, right? So when it comes again, I'll be a lot more prepared. And it's funny. Anytime we talk about uncomfortableness, I always think of this story when I first started podcasting, and I would, the first couple episodes, I would record them by myself in like kind of like this motivational talk. It's still out there. People want to listen to it. I don't suggest people do, but anyways, I would record them. And then what I would do is I'll let my wife listen to them first before I put it out. I'm like, just listen to this, give me a thumbs up or down. And there was an episode I recorded. I'm like, yeah, I felt good about it. I sent it to my wife and she's like, this is trash.
Cold blooded.
This is trash. But you know what? I'm grateful for that because it made me go back. And like you said, like figure it out. How can I be better? How could I not sound so cringy? You know what I'm saying? And it made me improve. And I think I've came a long way since then. But I love that. I love that mentality. Yeah, absolutely. So walk us through your background, your story. I know you live in Phoenix. Are you from Phoenix? I'd love to know about your story and whatnot.
Yeah, so I born and raised in Minnesota, the Twin Cities. Okay. Roseville was where I resided as a child. And yeah, so I started there, went to school there. I was really big into sports growing up. And was able to get a collegiate scholarship. And that kind of led my adventure into like my collegiate and sports purpose at that time. But I was always aligned with art as a child. I would have all the art kits. Every Christmas I'd get a new art kit, you know, where it had like all the markers, the colored pencils, the crayons, all that stuff. Like that was my vibe. I used to draw on the walls at home. Sorry, Mom, sure you know about it, but like, you know, I was definitely not, you know, you live in a Black household, you ain't drawing on the walls, but that was my passion. Like, I was always always into art. And while I pursued track and field, I also pursued my college or art career and, you know, went to school for design and was afforded the opportunity to come to Arizona State to get my master's degree. And that, you know, led me to where I am. And my purpose at that time was felt more aligned with sports and like being a sports designer for like a professional team. Oh, wow. But as I kind of got into the grit of things, that kind of transitioned into me pursuing my own endeavors and then also working in corporate America. So I would say where God has taken me has been kind of like well beyond what I could have imagined by far. And just some of the rooms that I'm in and rooms that I'm not physically in, but people are talking about me and to, you know, have pushed me to be the creator I am today. And so, that's my little rundown of how I got to point A to point C, maybe.
And did you, you know, you getting into art, did you obviously you said you didn't picture yourself in these, some of these rooms and doing what you're doing now. Did you ever had any idea like this is where you'd be at, or was it ever a goal, or like what like are you just going with the flow, right?
I would say so. Like, I'm a full-time designer, so I have a full-time job outside of my business, which is like my Instagram and that, you know, my work body of work there. I would say when I pursued design, I did have kind of a vision of what I wanted to do and where I wanted to be. So I would say for that, I was very aligned with that. However, I would say like corporate America wasn't really something that I envisioned myself doing because I wanted to be a sports designer. But I wanted to open up those floodgates and be like, okay, I can do all of these things in this world, but what more can I do in other worlds? Because I envision myself being a creative director or a leader and being able to inspire those around me and work with other designers and bring more people of color into the design field. And so I wanted to make sure I had a grasp on all of those avenues. That way I can be a better teacher in terms of like my art. In that body of work, absolutely not. Literally gone with the flow. I did not envision this at all. Some of the partnerships I've gotten, did not even know that those type of things existed. And that has been really God. And really just me living in the my purpose, because my creativity as an artist is something that's like spiritually within me. And that's like something that no one can take, you know, from me. Whereas like design, I could stop being a designer. You know, it's more of a problem solving thing. It's like, this is your problem. This is how I'm solving it with design. Whereas like my art just speaks from how I feel in that moment. And so that part of me definitely gone with the wind. I would say more of like my career has been a little bit more like curated. However, like I think parts of my art helped me kind of also not be stuck with, oh, it's okay for me to have change. It's okay for me not to be complacent and things like that. So,
yeah, I love that. And we're definitely going to get into your art style and the collaborations and whatnot that you had the ability, the people you had the ability to work with. But it's interesting that you say that, you know, God's plan and our plan, we all know, is completely different. Like what we think, what we want, like this is the way it's going to go. It typically never turns out that way, right? He takes us around this crazy path. And it's, we don't, may not understand it in the moment, but once we get there to that next step, it's like, okay, that makes sense. We went through all that. I learned all that so I can be able to be here and have these type of conversations with these people. Yeah. So yeah, I love that. So talk to us about your art style and how, like, I want to know like your creative vision on what you're currently doing and how you even came to this point. I mean, coming from like doing designs for sports and whatnot to where you're doing now is completely different.
Yeah, completely different. And it's almost the same thing in a reverse way as like my career. So I, you know, transitioned to corporate America, which is, I've been at numerous, or not numerous, a couple different places. Like I worked at PetSmart. So my focus was on pets and, you know, designing web and all those type of things.
But you were always designing.
So I've always been a designer. And I always kind of had different art ventures that I did. So when I was first, when I first moved to Arizona, I actually ran a painting studio. I was a manager at a painting studio and it was like the paint and sip. So like people would come in and paint and, you know, do those things. So I was doing art, right? It just wasn't art for me. And then when I ended up moving to corporate America, my first job was at PetSmart headquarters. I had a lot of time because in corporate America, you don't really bring work home. Like once it was 5 o'clock, like I was clocked out, I was on my way, right? Like that was new to me because in sports world, I could be working every single day, all night, on the weekend. There's really no boundaries to that, which was another reason for me to go, okay, I don't really need this, you know? So in that transition, I was able to be like, okay, what does creating artwork look like for me? Like, this is my time, right? This is when I went to school, this is what I was like, oh, I could be a designer and work for a company and then I could do the art that I want to do on the side. And so when I made that transition, I just kind of started creating little digital content that I posted on my Instagram. And at that time, I think I had like 800 followers. I don't know, just all people that I actually like knew to, at some point in my life. I wasn't really following people I didn't know. And I just, you know, was creating content and posting it, and like the people in my community were just gravitating towards it, like, oh, we love this, like, share this, you know, and whatever. And so for me, that moment was me being able to create kind of what I felt inside that was completely different from what I did at work every day. When I go to work, I'm creating for that company, right? I'm creating their vision, I'm creating what they want. But when I would come home, I'm creating what I want. And so for me, it was like representation was not there. If I'm in the stores, and I didn't envision that I would be in stores, I just knew that I could sell my own content, right? I could sell my own artwork. And so for me, it was like, well, I don't see any of this stuff anywhere. So I'm going to create a space for me to create artwork that looks like me. And a lot of that came from me and the people around me being able to see like the beauty in my friends and family members, and being able to say, like, embody, like, oh, if me and my girls are going out, I like, this is an outfit that we've all worn before. Like, I'm just about to put us together in a picture. Yeah. And other women are going to relate. Like, they're going to be like, oh, this is definitely me and my girls, you know? And so I just kind of ran with that. And for me, it's always going to speak true to me because that's my life, right? I'm a Black woman. I'm always going to be drawing Black women. And I have tons of Black women and women of color around me that like embody all of these, because we're all different, right? We all bring different things to the table. And it's easy for me to always be inspired by them because everybody around me is dope, right?
Yeah.
Like strangers that I meet, even my followers, like, they are dope individuals. Like sometimes I get over, like, I could draw them any day. I could draw their whole life, like right now. That's and dope. People will relate to it, you know? So in that transition, I, you know, have seen my work kind of flourish in different ways and, you know, been able to just like create from within. And at the end of the day, like I can always stay true to me because it's from me, you know?
Absolutely. It's interesting what you said about when you would work in corporate and you were designing for them, you were designing what they wanted, right? And then when you would go home, you were pretty much designing what fulfilled you. And it's interesting because I think even outside of art, that's what a lot of people do, right? They go to work and they're building other people's dream, and they may go home, maybe not even build their dream, or some people, they're working on their podcast when they get home, or they're working on their side hustle when they get home. And I also love that you said, you know, just about alignment and being in your purpose, right? Throughout your life, it seemed like you've always been in design. And a lot of people always say, like, I just can't find my purpose. Like, I have bad luck with it and whatnot. And oftentimes it's because you're not aligned with what you're doing, right? You're doing things that are nowhere near your purpose, right? So you've always been in your purpose, in your gift, and your gift made opportunities for you, and your gift made room for you. And it made room for you to collaborate with some huge companies. Would love for you to talk about that and how you even got those dope opportunities.
As we all know, social media is a powerful platform and also annoying platform, right? So there's definitely two sides of that coin. But, you know, really it was positioning myself in a way that made me visible to people that work in these rooms, right? Same way, like I work at PetSmart. You know, I don't work there anymore. But when I was working at PetSmart, if they ever reached out and was like, oh, we need influencers, right? And I'd be like, oh, I follow this dope person that I know has this dog and they create content and they're a person of color. Like I would plug that person, right? Like it's a no-brainer, right? Because a lot of times, as people say, like it's the people you know, right? It is. It's very much so, because people are bringing you up in rooms that you might not even know. And I would say thoroughly, like, that was my experience. It would be like, I'd get this email, hey, we're interested in doing a collaboration with you. I'd get on the phone, you know, get on the interview with them, or, you know, have the video chat. And they'd be like, oh, we have been following you for forever. So when this opportunity came, it was like, oh, I know the perfect person for this. And it was that. It was just constantly like, we've seen your work here. We loved what you did with this thing. How can we work with you? And it wasn't, again, like that wasn't a me thing. I think, well, it was me positioning myself and following what God had told me to do.
Know?
Like was pushing my heart to do. So it was sharing on social media. It was becoming available to those around me and sharing my work and being accessible. Mm-hmm. And as a designer, I have that experience in marketing and things like that. So I knew how to present my work. And in reality, after that, it was kind of like, then the people started telling me what they wanted, you know? Like when Forever 21 reached out to me, I kind of thought it was a joke. Like I was like,
yeah, that's crazy.
Y'all playing. Like, I don't really, like, I didn't even really know how big this was actually going
right,
to be. Right?
Right.
It was like, oh, like we want to do a clothing line. And I'm like, okay. What, like I can pick whatever. And they're like, yeah, like you can pick whatever quote. Like these are the SKUs. We want to do a women's and children's
that's
clothing
awesome.
SKUs. And it was like, okay. So then it was back and forth with the designer. I'm like, here's the work that I have, I guess. And then they'd be like, okay, here's what we have. This is what we put together. And I'd be like, well, I don't like that. Can we change that? Can we put this on there? I want to, you know, put this here. Can this be an option? You know, and it was like a dialogue that like,
that's so
I was
cool.
Like, what is going on? Like, I have a,
it's almost unreal.
I have a clothing line. It was super unreal, right?
Yeah.
And then the more unreal part was like, when I, you know, went out there to do the promotional and collaborative stuff, was like being in a room being like, yo, I literally have clothes that are coming out. Like, it's scary, right? In my mind, like, and two, there's a little bit of imposter syndrome because it wasn't just
for
me,
sure.
It was two other artists, right?
Gotcha.
And I'm like, dang, like, I don't think my stuff is that, their stuff is so dope. Like, I don't think my stuff is that good. Like,
but they probably think the same thing about you.
In my mind, so inspired by them because they're just like dope individuals, right? And it was just like such an amazing experience. And then to see the reaction from people that did not know me, right? I only had as much pull as I could on social media, right? But it was like an influx of people being like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen this stuff before. My daughter has never seen a girl with an afro on clothing before. Like, she feels confident in her pop. Like, it was just an influx of like encouragement and just like, yo, this is really my purpose. Like, this is really where I'm supposed to be, right? Like, and nobody can take that from me. And so I would say, like, for all of my collabs, it's always just been like, wow, I'm really doing this. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. So I'm curious. So how did that process even start? Did they reach out like via DM, like, yo, we need to hop on a call? Someone like Forever 21 or anybody else, how is usually like DM, email?
Typically, I feel like the larger the company, they do email.
Say
like, hey, like I'm so-and-so, I'm the marketing communications person. This is what we want to do with you. Are you interested in that project? All of them typically start like that. Some clients that you might work with already, like Adobe's a client that I've worked with numerous times. I already have kind of a communication. I recognize people. So, you know, they'll email me and say like, hey, we have this, here's the brief, you know, take a look. If you have any questions, let us know. So for the most part, everyone will send an email. They very rarely are in my DMs. I feel like very unprofessional, especially when you think of like the budgets that these companies have, like DMs, like you want to be corresponding with me
in
a more professional way. And so they typically just email me like, hey, this is, I'm so-and-so, we love your work. This is what we love about it. Like, this is how we want to work with you. Are you interested?
So besides Forever 21, what other company has been the most fulfilling to work with or the most enjoyable process, or, maybe it was Forever 21. Which one did you like have the most fun with maybe?
Dang, I'm trying to think, because sometimes I forget about stuff that I do. I would say the U.S. Open was a full circle moment too. So just like Forever 21, I actually worked in Forever 21 when I was younger. Like
That's nuts.
An employee there. Yeah, like it wasn't for very long. It was like literally for like maybe like 2-3 months. It was just like a quick little job in college. Yeah. Like, but I worked there. The U.S. Open also was kind of full circle because 2 years prior, that was the first time I had actually attended the U.S. Open. I worked in collegiate tennis, and I got to travel to the U.S. Open for the first time and, you know, be in New York and just have that full-blown experience. And then that connection came about because I met someone while I was there who then became a friend to me. And when the artist conversation came up, again, it was talked about in rooms that I'm not physically in, right? I'm not pitching myself. I have almost people pitching on my behalf, right? So everyone's like, oh, I know this dope artist. Hey, like, we should put her in this thing. And so I ended up being able to create an 8 by 8 foot painting that then was auctioned off. And for me, that's fulfilling, one, because one, it's full circle. I remember I attended this US Open like a couple years ago, like, or 3 years ago. And now I'm doing something on the reverse end, right? At that time, I was basically working the event. Now I am a part of the event in an exhibition type of way, right? And then the proceeds for my auctioned piece, which is a one of one, you know, then went to, you know, an organization that I chose. And like, to me, that was super fulfilling because it's, I'm doing the work, right? And then I'm able to give back. And that's important to me, because just like somebody, you know, sows into me, like, I want to sow into others and use my talents for those as well. I don't want to be selfish about everything I do. Like, you got to give back. You got to help. You got to give back to the people that give to you, and wholeheartedly too. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would say that was,
that's dope. That's super dope. So I'm curious, how do you stand out as an artist, right? Like, there's tons of other artists in the world. There's many other Black artists. There may be either, maybe even some other artists that do something similar to what you do, but how do you stand out? Like, how do you, I think that's the hard thing for some artists, is that they're trying to stand out in a way where they're unique enough where they can make an income or do collaborations like yourself. What are some of the ways that you stand out as an artist? Maybe you can give some advice to somebody out there.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because I will say, when I started, like, especially like my style of artwork, there wasn't that many people doing it. Now everybody can buy an iPad and do the same thing, right? And so that is something that can always play in your mind, like, dang, like, I'm not really just like the only person out here, right? Like, doing this now. However, like, for me, one, I'm living in my purpose, right? So nobody can take that away from me. Nobody can take my talent. I could switch it up any day, right? I'm an artist. I can paint. I like realism. Like, I can do paper artwork. Like, nothing is really stopping me, right? So one, always feeling like I can evolve, right? I can always go on to the next thing. I'm not stuck in whatever I'm in, right? So if God says, you're not doing digital art anymore, I'm like, okay, cool. What I'm doing now, singing? What I'm doing? So I'm going to sing today, maybe? Okay. Like, I'm always going to be able
marathon
to.
Marathon runner?
Right. Like, I'm about to be a marathon runner. Like, please, don't say that. I don't want that. Who knows? That might be my next calling.
Right.
So for me, like, I don't feel stuck in whatever I'm doing. I don't feel like I'm bound by this. Same thing with graphic design. I'm not bound by any of these jobs. I'm here. This is where I'm at right now, and I'm going to do my best. I would also say, like, me realizing who I am, like, you're not going to get another Stormy.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. Yeah,
you know, like, it's the same with you. Like, you're one of one. Yeah. Everybody is one of one, right? So the community that I've built, the resume that I've built, you know what you can get from me, right?
Yeah.
Like, I have a body of work that speaks for itself. So I don't really always have to do a lot of talk. I can just present my work and it presents for me. I would say, always encourage people to just be you. And I know we hear that a lot. People are like, oh, when you show up on social media and you're authentic, blah, blah, blah. But in a place of noise and chaos, it can feel like, what is me? Right. But that's where, like, logging off, tuning off of all of those things. Like, I've gotten to the point sometimes where I don't unfollow other creatives, but I mute them, because it's easy for me to get distracted and be like,
for sure,
like, I should have done that. Or I start to lose my vision. So sometimes it's good to block out of the noise and get back to your why. Like, so for me, my why is, I just want to create, and I don't want to be bound by aesthetics or what you expect from me. I'm a surprise, you know. What you get from me, you might get the same stuff in stores, right? Like the Home Goods, the TJ Maxx, whatever. Like, that's stuff that you can accept from me. But when it comes to, like, you interacting with me and my brand, maybe it's something different. Maybe I'm offering a whole new experience to you, because I'm a creative and I can create anything. I'm not down to one thing. So yeah, I think standing out if that's your only goal in life is to be famous and stand out, you're always going to be chasing. You're always going to be chasing that. I like that life found me. I wasn't searching for that. So being, just being you, this how easy is it to go viral?
Yeah.
Super easy. A lot of the times, especially when you see like on TikTok and stuff, a lot of times the people aren't even really like doing anything crazy, right? They might just be saying something funny. They might be in their pajamas. They're not, it's not overdone. They were being them. Those people are gold, right?
Yeah.
Like to see them be them. Like they're just off, they're just bringing their personality to the table, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, and I hopefully that answered the question.
No, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I just feel like you really do have to be you and block out a lot of the noise and what is trendy and what is aesthetically pleasing and just be you, because somebody connects with that.
Yeah.
Like who you are.
Yeah, I think there's some, it's funny because I think there's some guy on TikTok that he has a huge following, but basically all he does is set up his phone and he's like going fishing, trying to catch something every day. Mm-hmm. But he posts the video from the same angle. Like it was like at the same time of the day, he's doing the same thing, but he has a huge following. My point of that is like, he's just being himself, right? Like you said, he's just creating what he would probably create any other day.
Yeah.
And he just not worried about what other people think. But I'm also curious, do you, as a creative, do you ever feel uninspired, unmotivated, or like you're in a rut, or like you feel like you're not creative, or is it just, okay, talk to us how you get yourself out of that. And maybe how do you get yourself inspired again?
Well, if I can be frank, like I might kind of be in that season right now.
Gotcha.
And it's a hard season to be in.
For
right?
sure.
It's uncomfortable, right? The things that came naturally to me aren't exactly coming natural to me. And it's funny because in that I decided to get a therapist to help me kind of navigate life. Cause I felt like when I was younger, if I was going through something, I could bounce back next day. Like y'all not affecting me. I'm gonna keep doing what I need to do. And I'm not experiencing that in the same way. It's holding me down, right? And it's funny because I said, I feel like I can't really create, or I don't feel like the energy to create. It's like I do my job. And then when it's time for me to work on the things that really inspired me, I'm kind of like, eh, I'd rather sleep, or I'd rather sit and watch TV or go work out or do something else, you know? And she was like, it's because it's a spiritual tie, right? Like my creativity comes from my spiritual being. Therefore, if I'm not spiritually aligned, I cannot be inspired to
create. Yeah.
And I had to kind of come to terms with that and what that meant.
Interesting.
And so when I'm experiencing a lot of things that are weighing me down in life, I'm not going to be creative. It's hard for me to express in that way because I'm experiencing tons and tons of emotions and I'm not dealing with them because my natural state was always to be like, whatever, hold on, life, hold on, gotta keep moving, you know? And so in that, I experienced a creative work, you know, where I didn't really want to do anything. I wasn't feeling inspiring. My list just felt like it got longer and longer and I wasn't able to do anything. And so with that, I wouldn't say I'm completely out of it, but I take things day by day. And one thing that, you know, my therapist and the people around me have encouraged me to do is just like one thing at a time. So me realizing one thing was that I needed help. Like I couldn't answer emails all day. I couldn't, you know, do little things like that. So I was like, I need a virtual assistant.
For sure.
Why do I feel like I have to do everything, right? Found me a virtual assistant. I don't have to do an email. She organizes my emails. She aligns. Okay, these are things that little projects that they can do that now I don't have to, you know, weigh myself down, right? And so it's like little things, but honestly, a part of that is just being honest with yourself. And even if you're your followers, whatever, just being honest. Like I'm not here right now. I'm not meeting my standards, so I can't even give to you. Because I'm not getting to myself. And so with that, like I said, I wouldn't say I'm 100% out of my little creative rut, but I know I can feel myself moving in that direction. And a lot of that comes with just being spiritually grounded with God, because at the end of the day, that's my source. And if I'm trying to do things on my own, it ain't gonna work.
Yeah, no, I feel you. So, man, something really relatable. So I think by the time this episode comes out, this will be episode 120, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I put out an episode every single Monday of the week. And so the beginning of the year, I was going, but I was feeling a little burnt out. Long story short, I took like 2-3 months off from podcasting because I was feeling uninspired. I wasn't feeling like my cup wasn't full, right? And it's funny that you say you got a therapist, because I actually had got one too. And one of the things she said was like, yo, you're building somebody else's dream, but you totally forgot about yours. And I remember when I first started talking to you, Chris, you would feel so energized when you would talk about the podcast. I would see the light in your face. And recently, like, I don't see that energy from you. So it's like, sometimes you may have to step away from it from a period of time to remember why you were doing it and to remember like the enjoyment that you got from, you know, that creative process or whatever that was. And I took a break from it, you know, and I looked at like, okay, how can I make this thing better? Got my mind right. And now I'm back into it. Right. Yeah. And I'm feeling just as good. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious, you know, there's a lot, like you said, there's a lot of distraction out there in the world, and it's hard sometimes to keep focused. And I know with you, you have came across like Web3 and NFTs and whatnot. I want to know your opinion about this space. Is it something that you're going to move into eventually, or you're like, I'm not focused on that. I'm focusing on like getting back into my creative space. What are your thoughts about it? Cause it really blew up at the beginning of this year. Mm-hmm. And if you're an artist, is like, it was a topic of discussion, I'm sure. Yeah,
for sure. So like most things, when it blew up, I was like, dang, I should do this, right? It's something you want to jump into. But again, my list was real long, and understanding what an NFT is and mounting and all of that stuff was like, chaos. It felt like chaos to me, right? But, you know, I had to realize that sometimes it feels like I'm missing out on things, but really, what if that's just not for me, right? What if that's just not my area? So for me, yes, there were tons of people messaging me like, oh, like, can you sell NFT? Like, do you, like, you'd be great at this. Like, I'm looking for more Black artists, you know, and I'd be like, like, thanks. Like, you know, I'm thinking about it, but I just never spiritually felt aligned with it. Like, and enough to make me be like, oh, let me sit down and learn, because I was also doing other ventures for work, like doing UI UX and things like that to help my career on that side of life. But it was cool. Like, I loved watching other people like participating in it, right? It's like them kind of getting off on something that's new, right? And so I kind of just feel like I missed the boat or the window for that. And my audience, from my knowledge, they were more so looking for stationary things that they hang up in their house, not like little tokens that they could keep online, you know?
Yeah. It's
a cool space.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think the boat has completely sailed, because right now, you know, everything with the talks of a recession and whatnot, and, you know, prices going crazy, people are not investing as much into like the digital pieces of art. So it could be something that comes back around in the future for you to, you know, check out.
Right.
And I think exactly. And the thing about it is, when things become hyped up like that, sometimes it pressures people to jump into it when they're not prepared. And honestly, I think it's smart for what you did in your situation to like take a step back and watch what other people are doing and watch how this thing plays out. And then maybe in a year or 2-3 years, jump into it with a plan, a team, and with some real value, right?
Yeah. So I don't want to just be doing stuff just to be doing it, right? Because then it becomes like a cat and mouse game.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, I'm always chasing this bread. No, I'm not. Like, I don't want that.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Talk to us about one of your most recent failures and how did you overcome it?
I mean, I feel like, in a sense, like a failure of mine feels like the the rut that I'm in a little bit. When I first started, I used to create artwork every single day. Mm-hmm. I would upload my website every single day. Like, I haven't uploaded my website in like a while. Definitely not this year. Like, it's been a while. And to me, it feels like a failure because obviously I built the community that now I'm kind of not really engaging with at this point, right? Like, majority of people that are buying stuff are new people and people that didn't have my stuff, you know. So it feels like a failure, but I'm also realizing like failure is good, right? It's there's a fear there, and on the reverse side of fear is freedom. And I'm just trying to realize I can feel myself preparing to kind of get back into my groove and what that looks like for me.
For sure.
Because the past 3 years really was me just kind of moving with the buzz that I was having. So it was like high demand, like go. And then I took a seat. And I was like, I like it. It's peaceful. It's quiet here. I can relax. I feel good. But then I stayed in that seat. So I'm sitting in that seat still, right? And I need to figure out what my way of life is post all that buzz, right?
For sure.
I've turned down a lot of things because I just did not feel ready. So part of me feels like a failure because I'm quiet as well, right? Like, I felt like there for a while, I was super loud, my stuff was everywhere, people were talking about it, I was this collab. But I had to really take a moment and say no to people, to some collabs that would have probably changed my life because I wasn't ready. I wasn't in a good space. So it feels like a failure, but I think with failure comes great success on the return.
For sure.
And a lot of lesson learned. So that's kind of where I'm at. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good, you know?
Yeah. And we can start wrapping this thing up pretty soon. I mean, I don't necessarily see where you're at as a failure, because one thing that I've gotten from you throughout this whole conversation is that you got God first and you are aligned with your purpose and your gift. And like I said in the beginning of the podcast, your gift will make room for probably greater opportunities than the one that you thought was going to change your life. And you know how it goes.
Exactly.
We may have thought, like, again, the route we think we should have went is not the route that God wants us to go. So I'm honestly excited about like what you're going to do in the future. I'm glad my wife showed me your profile and your art. We're definitely going to support you. One other question I wanted to ask you before we head out of here is, once you start getting back into the groove of things, are you only going to work with like major brands? Are you going to do like art commissions? Are you going to just like put out pieces that you're going to sell that you want to do? What is your vision for that?
My vision is to really capitalize off of my licensing that I have because I am able to use them as a resource. You know, they use me as a resource,
right?
Like, they use my art to sell. But I have access to their suppliers, their supplies and demand.
And who's they?
My licensors. I have like three different licensors that are buyers for the home goods.
Got it. Dope.
And so with that, I'm able to buy my own product in bulk at the rate that these, you know, suppliers get, you know, TJ Maxx and all them. Like, you know, if it's like a picture frame, you know, they're making it probably for $3. They're buying it for $6, you know. I get them at that rate, not if I were to come in on my own and be like, can you guys make this? It'd be like inflated because I need to buy 10,000 orders of it. And I don't need to hold that much, you know, inventory.
That makes sense.
And so for me, like, I need to capitalize on that opportunity and that partnership, as well as create more artwork that are exclusive to me. Right. Exclusive to Stormy, whatever. I know people call me different things, but that are exclusive to my work and my brand. And so for me, when I do this kind of like rehaul, I want to be able to do that. I want to enhance my experience with when you get products, like how does that look? You know, what you're buying, like you can expect these things from me, but then there's going to be some things that you can't expect because I want to be able to try everything. And so I just want to be able to continue to build my brand and be creative and continue to put my item, my, you know, art on things that I really enjoy and envision.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Like I said, we can start wrapping this thing up. It's been a pleasure having you on the podcast and talking with you. I've had fun. One thing I've always have my guests do before they leave is leave the audience with one last piece of advice, one last gem, one last, you know, something that they can, tangible advice that they can take to their life. And we can end it on that note. And it could be whatever, art related, life related, whatever you want.
Well, I would say, I feel like the moral of this today was really just being in your purpose. So, you know, in that, with your purpose, God will align all of the other things in your life. Mm-hmm. And I encourage people to figure out what that is and dig deep, like what brings you joy, because your purpose does bring you joy. It will never feel like you're working a day in your life if you're in your purpose. And so I encourage those around me when they tell me, they want to do these things, I'm like, what is it that you love? Because God speaks to us through love and light, and he encourages us each and every day. And so I would just encourage everybody to find your purpose if you're not already in it, and just, you know, stick to that, because that's where your bread and butter is.
Yeah.
And I'm a true testament of that, you're a true testament of that, and I'm sure you can find thousands of other people, millions of people who are living the same exact, you know, thing. So
for sure. I love that. I love that. Where can people reach out to you? Leave them some social media handles that they can go check out. I'm going to leave the links to everything in the description of this podcast. But go ahead and talk to the people.
Yeah. So my Instagram is Stormay_Stormay. So my name is actually Stormy May Nesbitt. And so my Instagram handle is my first and middle name kind of mashed together, which still sounds like Stormy. So yeah, it's just Stormae. That's my same handle on TikTok. And then my website is just stormynesbitt.com. And there you can also find everything. But yeah, those are my ways to reach out to me.
Yeah. And once again, I appreciate you on the podcast. I appreciate your time. And it's your boy, Chris. I'll catch you guys next week. Peace.